Good day and welcome to Greaves Cotton Limited's Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Nagesh Baswanali, Executive Vice Chairman, Mr. Dalpat Jain, Group CFO, Dr. Arup Basu, Managing Director, Greaves Cotton, Mr. Sanjay Behal, CEO and Executive Director, GEMPL. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks are concluded. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nagesh Baswanali, MD and Group CEO of Greaves Cotton Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking the time. Good evening, and welcome to the Q3 call. At the outset, as the industry and we as a company are transitioning from a metal-based to metal-based engineering company to electric, electronics, mechatronics type of a company, we are glad to announce that today we have signed a binding term sheet for the acquisition of XL Control Linkage Private Limited, one of the key players in the areas of mechanical and electronic motion control systems. The highlights of this acquisition is that it's a very profitable business. It offers complementary product portfolio with several different customer and industry segments. It fits in with the overall Greaves strategy of transitioning to the mechatronic and electronic capabilities. It is also helps us with our export and other opportunities for the future. While we get into the more details in the Q&A on this, we also would like to talk about other things that have happened in Q3. We just concluded the Auto Expo last month, where Greaves Electric Mobility showcased 6 new products, both in the two-wheeler and the three-wheeler. Greaves Cotton showcased the e-powertrain offering. All of these products and innovation led by our in-house design engineering teams bear testimony to our purposeful stride in terms of emerging as a stronger player in the last mile mobility ecosystem with forward-looking products and technologies. In this past quarter, we also partnered, Greaves Cotton also partnered with a UK-based design firm, ETA Green Power, to bring in exclusive technology in the electric powertrain. We also, in the last couple of months, launched the Har Gali Electric campaign for Ampere at the Auto Expo, which has received overwhelming response. We have also announced the launch of Primus product this quarter. We are optimistic about the sustained growth with some of these new developments. We also see that the recent budget has been very encouraging when it comes to green growth, as laid out in the recent budget of 23. As India transitions towards a sustainable mobility, we continue to keep pushing a lot of new products and areas that the company is focused on, both in GCL and in GEM. With that, let me hand it over to the CFO to discuss the Q3 financials. Happy to take the calls at the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Nagesh. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm sure you would have got the financial results for quarter 3 of FY23. Just a few key highlights. If you look at the consolidated revenue of the group, we reported total revenue of 514 crores, which is 6% higher than the same quarter of previous year, but lower than the sequential, the Q2, and main reason being, like we had spoken about it in the previous quarter, in the electric mobility, particularly for two-wheelers, with the new guidelines on AIS 156 for the battery, the products were made according to the new guidelines, and by the time the production restarted, we had to recalibrate or basically strategically halt the production during the quarter. So that in fact impacted the primary revenue, which will be made up as we go in the subsequent quarters. So if you look at the breakup of consolidated revenue of 514 crores, 365 crores came from standalone business and 142 crores was the consolidated revenue of electric mobility. The good news is, as I was mentioning, with the production restarting in January, in the month of January itself, company has done in the electric mobility the same revenue that we did in the entire quarter of Q3. Company dispatched more than 14,500 or close to 14,500 vehicles in the month of January itself. The secondary volume continued to remain strong in the quarter three. And as we go forward, overall with the new launches that are planned, we expect strong momentum in our e-mobility volumes and revenue. Overall at EBITDA level, if you look at the core business, the margins continue to improve. The commodity cycle is helping with the overall prices coming down. The raw material cost for standalone business was less than 70%. And EBITDA margins have moved back to double digit. We are happy to report 10.7% EBITDA margin at standalone level during the quarter. In Greaves electric mobility business, because of lower revenue and the fixed cost which are already built for the higher volume and business, we had a loss at PBT level. The expenses also included a one-time cost of rupees 8 crores for a particular share-based payment done during the quarter. So overall, at electric mobility level, we had a normalized negative PBT of 28 crores. At a consolidated level, positive EBITDA of around 10 crores on recurring basis. And standalone EBITDA was 39 crores, which is 10.7%. Company's balance sheet continues to remain strong. We had a total cash and cash equivalents of 1,171 crores at the consolidated level. And with the binding term sheet that has got signed for acquisition of 100% stake in Excel controlling case in four tranches, we will be using some part of our internal accruals and free cash. Positive thing is the target company is highly profitable with normalized EBITDA margins of more than 28% and with a significant scope for growth in the push-pull cable segments where they operate. With that, I will be happy to take questions. Maybe, Aman, you can open up the floor for questions, please.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. An operator will take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. In the interest of time and fairness to all the participants, each participant will be allowed one question and a supplementary question added if needed. If participants still have more questions, they can rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Firstly, on this Excel control linkage acquisition, can you throw more light in terms of where we basically it gives us energy benefit and which kind of customers we can target with this? It's a very profitable with that we have seen in the PPT, but where it fits in our kind of business?
I'll start and maybe Dr. Basu can add that. So clearly they are in the business of push-pull cables, they are in the area of levers, steering and transmission systems, electronic throttle, levers, pedals, right? They are in the higher margin segments, which include the basically the commercial vehicles, construction equipment, marines, SPV, etc. Roughly 30% of their business comes from international, 70% is from domestic. Obviously, they are dealing with most of the auto majors in the country. I'm talking about from a commercial vehicle standpoint. maybe with the exception of one MNC, right? So there is obviously B2B synergies, there is supply chain synergies, it's incremental product, because also going forward there will be a lot of work in the areas of sensors, and the sensors which will go into both traditional engines as well as electric vehicles. So when you look at that, it's the product portfolio is vast. Industry segments that they operate is quite immense, and then the opportunity to kind of have headroom is quite significant.
And they make their own sensors, or how it is?
Yeah, so this is Arup Basu. Good afternoon. So as Nagesh said, there is a common set of customers in terms of the segments that we both play in terms of auto, industrial, agri, marine, and so on. The sensors are the electronic version of the motion control. You have push-pull cable rods and electronic sensors. These are the three large types. And while the majority of their product portfolio is in the cable construct, there is work already underway to move to sensors as and where applicable. And that's another point of synergies, because sensors, this is one application of sensors in terms of motion control. It's applied to a very large segment of applications, including, you know, any prime mover requires it. Thank you.
And if you look at the PPT, I think this company has grown very fast over the last 3 years, 167 crores. So why, I mean, why the promoters are willing to sell, that's one thing. And second, like what drove this growth, strong growth over the last 3 years? And how do you see the scale-up of this?
Yeah, so I'll take the first couple of questions, Ashutosh. The promoters, obviously, it was part of their planned exit. They have been in the system for a while. There was a succession planning issue, and they wanted a bigger, stronger group to come in and take over and the business. So it was part of their planned exit strategy, right? Point number one. In terms of the growth, you're right. If you look at the last 3 years CAGR, it's roughly about 22%. They have put in the investments, I believe, back in CapEx investments back in 2019, which really puts them in good stead. That kind of gets them ready for the next couple of years, right? They have deep relationships with OEMs. They get engaged very earlier on in the process. This has been built, this business has been built over decades, and it has in terms of cost, ownership, profitability, very strong focus on that. So a lot of cultural alignment, sectoral diversification, geography diversification, right? And obviously they have five small plants in and around the Nagpur area. And hence, that was the rationale behind it. Feel free to handle it.
And mainly the growth has been from export segment as well as the overall recovery in the auto that we have seen. And that has also led to the fast growth of their... And their products are mainly proprietary technology. So to that extent, once they have gone into the OEM's design overall, that continues to remain as the only product available as the option there.
Okay. And secondly, on this EV side, while the primary sales is very strong in January, is it also reflecting the secondary sales that we're seeing now, that that also is on similar lines?
Directionally, the secondary... Sanjay, you want to take that on? Sanjay?
Yeah, I'll do that. So thank you. I think primary was very, very strong, obviously. At the numbers, as Dalpat said, have been already crossed the entire quarter. Secondary sales is picking up. The first fortnight of January, given the inauspicious period, as you know, most parts of the country was a little lukewarm, but we've seen very good response in the last 2 weeks of January. So currently we are trending at almost the highs of, you know, the highs of festivity kind of a highs in the last about 3 to 4 weeks. So last fortnight of January, very good. First fortnight of February, again, a little modest, but picking up now. And we are very hopeful that our secondaries are going to be better than the last, significantly better than the last quarter. Yeah.
And how would this AIS-156 transition fully after April, how will that impact the cost for us in terms of cost? How much cost increase is required to pass on the full impact?
So we've already absorbed the cost. Most of the cost has already been absorbed in AIS phase one. It ranges from player to player between anywhere between 2,500 to 3,000 rupees, which is there. But more importantly, the transition has happened successfully for all the products of Ampere, whether it's Magnus EX or Zeal EX or Zeal CA, the three products on the road today. All of them are fully compliant with AIS 156 and are fully compliant on FAME norms. So they are all compliant, and there is a marginal cost which has already been absorbed in the product.
Thank you, Mr. Tiwari. Requested to join the queue for any follow-up. Also, before we move to the next question, I'd like to remind the participants to limit a question to two per participants. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-ups. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Mishra from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
So just an extension of last question. So when we will be implementing the phase two of the battery standard, so again, our primary fill will be impacted maybe in April. Am I correct?
Yeah. So, just to add on to the last one, also part of the cost is also getting neutralized by the price increase that we have taken across our portfolio. Just finish that. So I think that part is there. Coming to your AIS phase two question, we are currently in a preparation mode already for our transition to phase two. The cutoff is 31st of March. Cutoff is 31st of March, so we are getting ready for almost all the product line that we have to transition seamlessly without any hiccup in primary sale. That's the current readiness that we are working towards. So we don't anticipate any major disruption at this point of time.
Okay, so 10,000 monthly sales can be assumed for the subsequent month?
Yeah, it's a hypothetical, speculative thing. We won't say that, but yes, in the current, the thing is that we should have a seamless transition from AIS phase one to phase two.
Okay. And secondly, in terms of subsidy release, where we are placed, anything we are hearing from government when they're going to release subsidy?
So we're working with the government. I think we have given all the requirements that the government authorities have asked from us, and we are working actively with the government to get it released.
Okay. And lastly, this acquisition, this EV is enterprise value of 385 crore we have paid. That is for the entire 100%, right? Or it is for 60%.
So, Dhananjay, that's correct. So, the 100% of the enterprise value will be kept at 385. That's the maximum value, which will get determined basis the actual EBITDA of FY23. And they are on their path to cross 50 crores of EBITDA. So, that's where the final value will come out. For 60%, we will pay, if the final value comes to be 385, then we will pay 231 for the 60%, which is the tranche 1. And then tranche 2, tranche 3, and tranche 4 will get determined at the end of FY24, FY25, and FY26.
And when do you expect this tranche 1 to be completed?
The part 1 closing to get completed by April, that's what...
Hello? Hello?
So we are unable to hear you. Can you hear us?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Even I have lost them, Sanjay. I think there is no voice coming
yes,
from others.
Mr. Mishra, I request you to stay connected while we check the line for the management. Participants, please stay connected while we check the connection of the management speakers. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently waiting. We have the management line reconnected. Mr. Mishra, may I request you to please repeat a question?
So, Dhananjay, I heard the question on the enterprise value. So, basically, that's the 385 for 100%. For 60%, it will be maximum of 231, depending on the final EBITDA determination of FY23. And the remaining the closing expected is by April 2023 for the first part of the tranche one payment, and the second tranche of the part one payment will get completed by August 2023.
So FY24 we will have full impact of this consolidation in our P&L, right?
That's correct. Of the stake that we are subject to, obviously the definitive documents on the and the other regulatory approvals. In FY24, we should have the full consolidation effect of the 60% stake that we will have.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Dhananjay.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Jiten Parmar from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations on what seems to be a good acquisition. My question is also on three-wheelers. What is the situation there?
So basically, in terms of the overall revenue and the market part of the MLR plus Bestway?
Yes.
So,
you want me to take it? Okay, that's fine. We've been steadily improving on three-wheeler, both in L3 and L5 segment that we have. Last quarter, we have actually done the highest ever L5 volumes. And also continue to improve our position or sustain our position of a very good quarter two that we registered. So almost the same number we repeated. Despite the market, some slowdown was there in L3 in quarter three. We were able to hold our two-hour volumes there and grow significantly in L5. So that would be the broad contours there. We are increasing in number of active dealers. The financing partner is also improving every month. So overall, if you look at all the enablers, whether it is in terms of our product getting more accepted in the market, the number of dealers who are engaged with us, the financing partners, overall, I think the ecosystem is coming together, and we will continue to be very confident we'll continue to see higher growth in the coming quarters in three-wheeler segment.
Okay. And my second question is, maybe you might have answered it, but I probably missed it, regarding the volumes for EVs. Which were very low in, I think, November and December, or rather for the whole quarter. Is it because of the AIS phase one transition, or what is the reason behind that?
Yeah, in fact, it's a quarter that you have to see it from the right perspective, I would say, because in terms of secondaries and Vahan registration, it was the highest ever quarter of Greaves, which is the reason. The primary billing was low on account of what I think was already mentioned in the context and also repeated by Dalpat, which is the switchover from AIS 156 phase 1, which happened on 1st of December. So we had to do a transition from a pre-AIS vehicles to the post-AIS vehicle, and hence we had to do a lot of liquidation of the pre-AIS stock. So we had to work with that as one of the transition imperatives during the quarter for which the billing was lower. But in terms of secondary sales, if you see, it was one of the highest quarters, and even in Vahan registrations, if you would have seen, we crossed 27,000 registrations. And in fact, the highest ever market share recorded by Ampere was in the month of November, which crossed 16% market shares of electric vehicles, which is a reflection that the market acceptability of the brand, product, everything continued to be extremely high, only improved during the last quarter. It is only the transition-related billing. That's it.
And that also got again filled in the month of January. So
January,
the quarter's volume complete.
That's perfect. So I think there will be probably low inventory at the dealer fronts and all that. So maybe that.
That's correct.
Yes. Correct. Okay. Thank you so much. That's all I have.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Anand Venugopal from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is, there's a lot of pessimism in the three-wheeler industry in India, and we realize it's the essential part of transport system. Do you think the market is underestimating the power of next upcycle in three-wheeler industry? Can we see higher volumes in the next upcycle versus the previous upcycle?
Yeah, I'll take this and then maybe Sanjay can add. When you look at three-wheeler industry, right, moving people and moving cargo, the passenger and cargo, right? As a general group, advantage because not only we supply engines to a series of automakers on one hand, but from a life cycle value extraction, we supply three-wheelers, both L3 and L5. L3 at the lower end and L5. Sanjay already alluded the kind of where we are. But if I take a step back, the industry size, basically L3 and L5 is more or less, when you look at the monthly sales and the trending annual sales, is more or less the same, right? L3 has been growing significantly. L5, which was significantly impacted during the basically the three-wheeler traditional business, which was significantly impacted during the COVID era, is recovering, right? Totally, the industry size is about roughly 700,000 when you add up both, right, L3 and L5. And we believe in terms of moving people, moving cargo, and opportunity for a fuel agnostic way wherein we are available in diesel engines, we are available in CNG engines on the grave side. We are available in L3, we are available in the three-wheeler L5 segment. So we got that industry segment covered and we are seeing the positive trend of that industry moving back. It's obviously not fully recovered to the pre-COVID era on the L5 area, but definitely it's moving in the right direction. And I think long term, this will be a strong area, especially.
Anand, there's some echo from your line. Request you to please use the handset.
Hello.
Yes, Anand, there's a lot of echo from your line. May I request you to use the handset and proceed with the question?
Yeah, that's all. That's it.
Okay, thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Bahirwani from Vijit Global Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Now, if you look at the subsidies, it was around 116 CR as on 31st March 2022. How much subsidies are receivable as on 31st December 22? And how are you looking at the subsidies in the future?
Yeah, so Rohit, in terms of the absolute amount, the receivable subsidy has now gone above 225 crores. So that's the total receivable subsidy from the government, because last 5 months, they have been asking for the details and processing that. In terms of the status, Sanjay already spoke about it. To the agencies, all the details have been provided and company is working with government to get that released as soon as possible.
Okay, okay. And my other question is with related to Auto EV Mart. Company has two stores of Auto EV Mart in Bangalore and Trivandrum respectively. How much revenue contribution is there from Auto EV Mart, and company sells the products of different brands? So do you book the sales in your accounts, or is it the incentives and commissions? Can you explain a bit from that?
Yeah. So overall, in terms of the financial numbers of the sales that we do for the OE is on principal-to-principal relationship. So basically, the entire sales gets recorded. In terms of the contribution in the Greece standalone revenue and the consolidated revenue, it is less than 3% right now of the total vehicle sales.
Less than 3% of total consolidated revenue.
That's correct.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subrata Sarkar from Mount Intra Finance. Also, participants, please enter *1 to ask a question.
Yeah, sir, I have a very basic question since my understanding is a little bit limited. So, like, if I want to track the primary and secondary monthly sales for your company in terms of electric EV, I'm talking about two-wheeler and three-wheeler, what is the basic source to check it, sir? And, sir, just another request. Like, I have checked that, like, we are not disclosing the monthly data, basically. Several others or traditional auto company or two-wheeler company does. So, is there any specific reason for that? So, if you explain a little bit.
Yeah, so Subrat, so two parts of your question. One, in terms of the secondary sale. So for secondary sale, there is a database with Vahan. So Vahan portal gives you data of the registered vehicles. Obviously, there are certain anomalies in the sense of time gap, because from the time the vehicles are actually sold to the customer and till the time it is registered, to that extent, the Vahan database updation gets delayed. The second piece is there are a couple of states which Vahan database doesn't.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it seems we have lost the line for the management once again. We request all participants to please remain connected while we reconnect them. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the management line reconnected. So, over to you.
Yeah, so Subrat, I was talking about Vahan portal being the source for the secondary sales and subject to certain things which are like a couple of states are not covered and the second registration may take little time from the point when the actual secondary sales happen. So to that extent, that Vahan data can be readjusted and you can have a monthly or the live data about how many vehicles have got secondary in the secondary market. About the primary data, we disclose that on a quarterly basis. So that's the information available in our investor presentations for every quarter. Talking about why monthly we don't do that, because we believe in getting the volume data audited, certified, and then disclosing that. So to that extent, their internal view from compliance is slightly different on disclosure of it. And that's where we disclose it on a quarterly basis, and volumes are available in our investor presentations for since the time company started selling electric vehicles.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Sir, another very basic question, like with our existing capacity, like existing plants, sir, what is our optimal capacity, like how much we can go in terms of both two-wheeler and three-wheeler? That's all from my side.
Yeah, so on two-wheelers, as you know, we have our mega site at Ranipet. It's a 35-acre plant. The entire brick and mortar can go up to 1 million unit capacity. Right now, the production capacity that we have installed is 50,000 per annum in a single shift. With multiple shifts, the capacity can go up to 450,000 per annum. So that's the installed capacity on two-wheelers. On three-wheelers, between both L3 and L5, the individual, so L3 has close to around 3,000 vehicles per month, and similarly L5 also is around the same number in terms of installed capacity.
Thanks, sir. Thanks. That's from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohit Bahirwani from Widget Global Services Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, I had one question with respect to the secondary sales for electric two-wheeler. If we look at Vahan portal, there are two data lines available, one for Ampere and another named Greaves Electric Mobility Private Limited. I understand the first one is for Ampere brand. What's the other one for?
So both are the same one. I think when the company registered name got changed from Ampere Vehicles to Greaves Electric Mobility, so to that extent, the registration data when they are happening under two names, that's the data what is getting reflected over there. But from company point of view, both of them together is what you need to see as the total volumes. Both are from for Ampere branded vehicles only.
Okay. And with respect to battery, are you sourcing the batteries from Indian OEM or are you importing from outside?
Sanjay?
Yeah.
The lithium-ion battery.
Yeah, all the batteries, assemblers are all Indian batteries. Cells of the batteries are imported, but all the batteries are assembled by Indian suppliers for us.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Aniket Mahatre from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. We did understand why your sales went down in Q3. But what I fail to understand is why your secondary sales have declined in January. Could you please explain that?
Yeah, let me start and then maybe Sanjay, you would like to add. So
yeah,
why the primary sales were on hold, that's where the inventory at the dealer level got reduced. So, Sanjay, you wanted to say something. Sorry on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's really, I think Dalpat said there is a Vahan registration number which has a lag with secondary sales, because when you sell it to the customer then either through a dealer or through some, you know, directly goes to an RTO to register a vehicle. Now, registration, depending on the state, can happen the same day or can get delayed by 45 days in some states. And all the registrations don't get accounted for in Vahan portal there. So the number that you're seeing for January is a number of registrations which happened in January, which would have some lag of a December really getting impacted there. But the real number to really look at January would be with some kind of an assumption on going forward. Now, as I said, secondaries did pick up significantly over December. So the secondary sale of the company is significantly ahead of December for January, and for February, first few days, ahead of January. Yeah. So there is a pickup there. You will see the registrations picking up with a bit of a lag. You already see the first 9 days of February. If you look at Vahan, our numbers have shot up in terms of our registration already.
Sure. And one follow-up on the AIS phase two that is coming up from April. What kind of price increase do we anticipate for the industry post that?
We're currently working on that. I think the price discovery is yet being worked upon, and I think the whole level, or you know, the equilibrium will shift towards an upper, because all the players across the industry will get impacted almost equally, and hence we will see some shift in the price up. So from basic margin point of view, I don't think there is going to be much change from March to April, and I think most of this price is in the region that it can be passed on to the consumer largely. So that's what it will be. But the real price discovery, one will be able to actually share during the next quarter call, when that's fully discovered.
Sure, understand that. But suffice to say that it's likely to be higher than the phase one price.
Yes, it will be. There will be some impact, because there are additional requirements that are required in terms of the sensors in the battery, the porting of the battery needs to be done. There could be some engineering changes that may also be required, depending on what material are we using. So yes, there is going to be some impact. But it's not an impact which cannot be partly, I think, the industry will pass on to the customer, and maybe some part can be absorbed, but mostly I think it can be passed on.
Understood. And just one final clarification. We confirmed that we'll be able to comply with the AIS phase 2 standards, right? The time, because earlier I think there were issues that the timing is too short. Would we be able to comply within the given time frame?
Yeah, in fact, we were, Ampere was the first electric vehicle to actually get a certification for AIS 156 phase 1 in November, much before the deadline really happened. And even in phase 2, we currently, with the visibility we have, we are working for both component and vehicle level certification. And our visibility suggests that, at least the visibility we have, it is indicating that we will be well on time in terms of the switchover.
Got it. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Gaurav Gupta. As an individual investor, please go ahead.
Thank you for giving this opportunity. So, this is
the headset. You're not clearly audible.
Is it audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot. So I think just a follow-up question. One of the participants also asked. I missed out the response on that question. Like the other two-wheeler companies which are listed, or the traditional two-wheeler companies, they disclose the numbers, that what is the kind of numbers they have sold it out in the previous months. We are not putting up that number in the stock exchange filing. That is the first question from my side. And the second, when we see our comparative analysis vis-a-vis the other players, whether it is a traditional one like the TVS Motors, or the one which are similar to us, like the Ola or the Ather. It seems that somewhere in the last couple of months, post, I think, October and November, we are not up to that mark in terms of selling our product. So is it something from a technical point of view, product capability point of view, because of which our product are not that much hitting the market, or it is something else that we as a investors are missing?
Yeah, so Gaurav, two things. One, in terms of December secondary sales, like Sanjay already mentioned. October and November were highest ever for Greaves Electric Mobility. And December, due to AIS 156, company had calibrated its production and then the new vehicles which had to be manufactured and sold. There was a process of entire ARA certification, FAME II certification, which got completed before the regulated date. And once the homologation was completed, after that the company restarted production. And then the inventory started going back in the market. Sales is happening. Once the registration gets completed, the data started getting reflected back in the secondary. So if you see now the last 2 weeks, again the momentum has gone back to the levels what it was in October, November. So that first part in terms of secondary sale number that you are seeing in the VAHAN portal for December month and some part of January month. Now the first point in terms of disclosure, we give quarterly volume data every quarter in the investor presentation. On monthly, because secondary data is already available from the VAHAN part, our view from our compliance team is to give the audited volume data, which is what we give on a quarterly basis.
Oh, thanks a lot. Just a follow-up, if you allow me to ask that question.
Sure.
If I see that on an overall basis, including the traditional two-wheelers as well as the startups like us, right, overall the market is... it seems to be consolidated among overall 8 players, right, from Ola, TVS, Ather, Hero Electric, Ampere, Okinawa, Bajaj, and Hero Motors, right? And then for sure, out of these 8, what would be our strategy? We would like to be in top 3, in top 5, or at the bottom of this maybe 2 years, 3 years down the line? Because as of now, I think we are somewhere around either at the 5th number or 6th number.
Yeah, let me start. I think if you look at it, right, the registrations, and if you look at the year-to-date number, like Sanjay was saying earlier, we have been roughly at about 13%+ year-to-date, right, from a market share. So, and we have been consistent. Barring that December, January, when the AIS Phase 1 implementation, look at the trend over the last 24 months, and again, there was a dip when we were significantly involved in localization about 12 to 18 months ago, and then now with AIS. So, right, there are short-term blips, but overall, we've been in double-digit market share, point number one. Point number two is we believe we were one of the early movers into this. We saw this opportunity ahead of a lot of people or most of the people, right? And Ampere product, especially the Magnus, is very well established. We got supply chain, we got local manufacturing in place, and we got a great team in place, right? So when you look at it, we believe we are looking at, and by the way, in general, from unit economics, we have a profitable venture in general when, if you look at even up to Q2, right? So when you look at all of these data points, I think we are trying to optimize both market share growth and a viable growth. So basically, how do you drive the growth? How do you get after new customers? We were operating in that sweet spot of that 80,000 to 1 lakh in the meat of the market. And that's kind of where we believe our strength has been. And we will continue to play to our strategy and to our strengths. Hope that answers your question.
Just to add on, just some specific. Look, YTD December, if you see, yeah, last year, we were not number 5, as you said. We were number 3. Yeah? We were at a 13.2 share, with exiting with November at 16.3 as a number 2 player. Yeah? This is just a month before the changeover happened. And then the reasons of the switchover is all that we have shared already with you, which is December and January, and how the sale is now going to pick up as we go forward. So one is, just wanted to correct, because you said we somewhere in the stack of 8, you will be number 5. Current, in we were number 2 in November, we're number 3 by YTD. So that is one small correction I just wanted to make. The second point is, we just unveiled the portfolio, and that should be a very good, because your question was on strategy in 2 years. And in Auto Expo, when we unveiled our products, I think that was a reflection of our strategy in action. where we actually improve the addressable market for our products from 1 in 3 to 3 in 4, almost from a little above 30% to almost 75%, with all the new products, the 3 new products that we introduced, whether it was Primus, where the bookings have already started now. We talked about 2 other products, one the NXG for discerning millennials and one for the gig worker, the last mile mobility, which was NXU. So with 4 products moving from 1 over the next course of the 2 years that you talked about, and with already with 1 product, as Nagesh said, very successful, Magnus, being number 3 in the industry, we stay very strong in terms of our leadership position going forward.
Fine, and very, very encouraging to hear about that as well. So that's why I just thought out to get an understanding as an investor that going forward in next 2 to 3 years. So I really appreciate that we were having somewhere around 14, 15 or near about in double-digit market share till October, November, and you are correctly on that we were either number 2 or 3. But recently only, we slipped to this fourth or fifth number or maybe sixth number because of the competitiveness of the industry, like Ola becoming very, very aggressive, TVS becoming very aggressive, and the same goes with the Ather as well. So that's why going forward, if coming and analyzing this entire pack of 8 players, where do you see yourself in the top 3, in the top 5, or at the bottom, in the last 4, maybe? So as a strategy, because like we have a strategy as a company, our competitors would be having the same kind of a strategy as well to expand the market share, to gain market share, and so on and so forth.
So clearly we are looking for market leadership here. Yeah, no strategy is going to be at the bottom of the pack, clearly. The second point, I think, which is a very important point, I hope you picked up, which Nagesh made, was the profitable leadership and not just leadership at any cost. So that will be a pivotal philosophy with which we will drive our electric mobility business. We are going to go for profitable leadership. And clearly, we would be amongst the top players when it comes in about 2 to 3 years' time in terms of profitable path towards the leadership there. Now, there are a few other elements which I did not talk about given the time, but very clearly, there is a brand identity also, which again, the opening address, which Nagesh said, which is a change that you see from the earlier, pre-December era to now, Hardali Electric, the whole new identity of the campaign, the announcement that we made of launching a 50 brand experience stores over the course of next 12 months, increasing our overall brand stickiness, awareness, and then stickiness and preference. All this will actually build up, apart from the new products and addressable market, our position towards our leadership. And then on top of it, if you've been monitoring, and as you said, very closely watching our progress, our dealer strength, our quality, our after-sales service network strength has increased dramatically. The start of the year, it was about 220-odd active dealers. We are now touching close to 400. It's almost doubled. And then this massive advantage that only we have amongst the pack of 8 that you talked about, which is one Greaves, which brings in Greaves Retail, Greaves Finance, Greaves Care, and this extensive ecosystem that only we can talk about amongst the 8 players that you see in the list today. So I think all these things give us confidence that we, if we can bring all these together, we are on the right path of profitable leadership.
Thank you, Mr. Gupta. I request you to join the queue for any follow-ups. A reminder to our participants, please enter star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on the acquisition side.
There's, we have done...
Please? Yeah.
Sorry?
Please use the answer.
Jyoti, please go ahead with your question. You did not complete. So on the acquisition side, you were asking something?
Yeah, so like they are doing 28% EBITDA margin. And as after we done the acquisition, so what level we will be on the margin side?
Yeah, so if you look at Greaves standalone, we are at 10.7% in quarter 3. And if you add, hypothetically, let's say the current revenue run rate, they are at around 40 crores or 45 crores a quarter. If I add that revenue and I add the EBITDA margin, the consolidated margin for quarter 3 would have been 12.8 to 12.9%.
Okay. And so going forward, what is the growth rate that we are targeting?
You are asking for Excel control linkage?
No, overall as a company for Greaves.
So Jyoti, as you know, we don't give formal forward looking or forward guidance. But having said that, I'm sure you're monitoring the kind of numbers what's happening in the standalone business, and that's quite predictable with the overall things in the three-wheeler improving, the price parity between CNG and diesel going more in favor of diesel. The volumes are expected to increase on the three-wheeler auto side. In non-auto side, with the profitability focus and profitability improving now, we are expecting better growth than what we have seen in the past. And raw material prices going down augurs well for overall profitability of the company. The Excel control linkage will add another 200-250 crores on top of the existing top line of the company.
Okay, thank you, sir. And sir, how is the inquiry level we are seeing for the new launches that we have done in the Auto Expo?
Sanjay, on Primus, actually we have started the booking there.
Yeah, we've had early days of booking there, so we've got excellent response, in fact, across the country. We have over 1,000, I think, numbers already registered since we just started a few days back. And the number of leads I'm talking about paid bookings there, which have already started happening. So, yes, that product we will see rollout as we committed in this quarter itself. The early response and the bookings that we have to go by has got very encouraging initial feedback. Yes.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
This low-cost mechanical
diesel
VFX engine.
Ashutosh, you're not audible.
Good now? Hello?
Yeah, can you please speak up? Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So, we have mentioned that we'll be launching this mechanical VFX engine for three-wheelers. So, how would the cost come down with that compared to the current engine that we have?
Yeah, so G435, our older version, which is now launched with BS6 compliant norms, and that has been launched in the market. The price difference is almost 15% between the electric version and the mechanical version. And in terms of margins, it's almost 300 basis points higher for the company.
Okay, okay. So are customers accepting it, like say, will this volume for this product will increase going ahead?
Yes, Ashutosh, the initial response has been good. So G435, the clients who have taken, so out of the four or five major OEMs we have, a couple of OEMs started with G435 and they have seen market share growth on a relative basis overall. And initial response of G435 has been good in the market. So talk about PVPL, talk about Atul, etc., their market share has grown with G435.
Okay. And secondly, on non-auto engine side, the volumes have been tapered over last few quarters. How do you see this segment doing going ahead?
Yeah, Arup, if you can just highlight in terms of profitability focus that we have there in non-auto.
So in non-auto, we are really focusing on getting a better quality of EBITDA. And there are also impending regulatory changes. So this is a bit of a gray field and time will tell. How the demand pans out, because there's a fair amount of clarity that users are wanting to understand for certain applications in terms of the regulations that are there. The other dimension that is also going to affect the non-auto side is the fuel choices in terms of the blend portfolio of fuels that are going to be in demand going forward. Our focus will remain on profitable growth, and we should see that improving.
So, but which industry applications we are targeting more is probably growth can come. I wanted to move from that perspective.
Mainly there are four segments in the non-auto. One is the power solutions where we have gensets and also the industrial engines which we are giving to some of the large customers. And that's the segment where focus in the recent past has been on improving the margins. still volumes continue to be in a growth phase. The growth could have been higher, but we are intentionally ensuring that margins improved in this particular segment. The second segment, which is the non-auto small engines and the farm equipment. And in farm equipment, as we had mentioned earlier, because of China import dependency, which has now got replaced with the tie-up with the Indian manufacturers, in quarter three, you would have seen the volumes have started moving up compared to quarter two. And that's the one area where we are going to see the growth coming back. So farm equipment used to be healthy volumes, close to around 10 to 15,000 a quarter minimum. So that's one area where we see significant growth coming back with the Indian tie-ups and the subsidy parts being taken, the government registration parts being taken care of.
And lastly, on the subsidy part, which is due from government, so we are now cleared in terms of all the regulatory things which are pending. Like, say, we got all the approvals in place, right? It's only that want will come anytime, or there's something remaining over there in terms of clearances.
Ashutosh, in terms of development, as we went into the new products, right, the Magnus and with the AIS 156 Phase 1, the new Primus, which is also under certification. So we have got all the required certificates, including the FAME 2 permission and the compliance certificate from the government. So you would have seen our vehicles are allowed to claim subsidy and pass it on to the customer. So that part is clear from the government side. And as late as in the December, when we went with the AIS 156 compliant vehicle homologation, that again certification came from the government. All the questions, details that they had asked, all of them have been submitted. They had appointed agencies, all the details have gone to them, including of the past. Now it's a question about they taking the final decision, and which is common for majority of the industry players, under various parameters what they are examining, and then start releasing the money.
So next 2-3 months that amount should come to us.
Yeah, we all are closely hoping and monitoring that, because that's a significant thing for the entire industry over there. So players like us who have been large enough in the size, we are able to sail through this time, but there are many small players who are dying, and there is enough of responsibility on the government also to clear this particular part as soon as possible.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nagesh Pasavanali for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you all for attending, and thank you for the insightful questions. As always, management team is available. If you have any questions, you can reach out over the next several days. Thank you again for your time and attention. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Greaves Scotland Limited, we thank you once again. Stay safe. With this, we conclude today's call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.